Father, we just thank you for coming for you today. On your Sabbath, a day set apart, a day to worship you, a day to come aside, a day to cease from all work. Father, a day to gather, a day to learn. A day we're all come today for you to speak to us. Open your words that they may be life to us, that they may be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. That you may teach us, show us, convict us. Truly may we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, truly may we see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You know, several songs we sang there about praising his name and in the name. And several of those songs we never sang his name.
I know that.
And some say we need to use the proper name. Okay, which proper name do we use? Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yah. I know it's not Lord, that's Hebraic, Baal is translated into Lord, but nor do I think if I say Lord, am I praying to Baal. There are those in this movement that if we don't use the proper name, they don't fellowship with you. There's some that if you don't use the sacred name, they don't think you're praising Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But I have a name.
Yes, yeah. And if I called you something, you wouldn't respond to it.
But my children call me something other than Gerald, and I respond to them. No, they don't call me anything. They call me Dad or Father or Daddy.
Yes.
And I can tell you when they call, if I'm out at the mall and I hear Gerald, you may get my attention. If I'm out at the mall and I hear one of my children call Dad,
10,000 men respond.
No, I don't care whether anybody else responds or not. I turn around because I know my children's voice, and I tell you, they have my attention a lot faster, and I'm a lot more prepared to do something than if they would have said Gerald. And I can tell you that I'm not going to look down at Benjamin and say, you did not use my proper name. So just let that man take you away.
Well,
I'm so sorry. When you get older and you learn my name and you call me by my name, now I imagine that man's going to the hospital and I'm going to jail or I'm going to the graveyard because he's going to have my full attention and everything within me is going to be set about making sure my son is taken care of.
But I think there's a difference between father versus you. If I'm using your proper name, because I can say, hey, friend, hey, buddy, but when I use your proper name, I really think there's a difference. Now, I'm not good at
I think there's a difference, but I think much of that is in learning, is in maturity. Right now, when Michael cries, I don't think John or Abigail, either one, says, when you learn to say mother or father or daddy or John or Abigail, then I'll pay you attention. Well, we shouldn't be babies. Paul says a lot of you, you shouldn't be babies, but you are, desiring the milk of the word. Now, am I going to argue with Scripture? Am I going to believe what Scripture says? We like to think we're not babes, but I cannot determine whether or not you're a baby. I can't feed you. I don't know how often you nurse or don't nurse. We have a cat now in our house. That's a kitten. And when we got the kitten, John didn't even know if it was a cat or a dog or a possum. So I would not turn to John too quickly.
Okay. That was a little bitty
bother for her. When we got the cat, it had been abandoned by its mother, had not nursed very well, and my wife fed the thing with a teeny little old bottle multiple times a day. My wife is not a cat person, so this was a labor of love, not for the cat but for her child. Yeah, I tell you, as she has labored and loved her child, kind of like cats. She's gotten to where she don't just feed the cat. She makes sure we do it correctly. and timely. And then we're holding the cat right. A lot of things have nothing to do with food. And she's all of a sudden grown.
She's Googling about cats. That's a lot for mom. Mom, you can Google and searching about cats.
Yeah. Just to say that I don't think the creator of the universe is so caught up with what we call him. I have had my children say dad before, and greatly disliked the attitude that they said dad in, and have dealt with him about the attitude they said dad in. And it wouldn't have mattered what they called me. Well, maybe it would have. But with that attitude, they won't get dealt with. In the same way, I think it is important. There is only one name under heaven by men, which men should be saved. I think we should be careful. The Bible tells us in that day, men will say, Jesus here, Jesus there, but it ain't going to be the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior. So I think it does make a difference, the terminology, the phraseology we know. As I get older, it's important, not so much to me, but for my children to have the proper authority. If they say my daddy said so, most people out there ain't gonna care. So who's your daddy? They need to be able to respond who their father is. And when they respond who their father is, then it will make a difference or won't make a difference.
You know, with this war going on, it's interesting. Benjamin Netanyahu talking about how God will this or that, and then to I told them, saying the very same thing, that God will, and they're both talking about God, but they're not naming, and I believe that God is a title.
I think the distinction is which ones he will do something for. We sang about the praise bringing down the walls of Jericho. Did you know the praise did not bring down the walls of Jericho? Did not bring down the walls of Jericho. God brought down the walls of Jericho. Not the harmonics of the shofar being blown, young and all that young. God brought down the wall. Now, God brought down the wall because of obedience, but you know, praise isn't obedience. We're commanded to praise the Lord. They were commanded to walk around and shout and praise. So yes, part of that obedience is praise. I just want us all to be careful as we grow. I do think it's important to grow and mature. I think it's important to use every tool we have available to us because the enemy's out there seeking who he can devour. If I read the book correctly, times are going to get worse. And so I want everyone to have every authority, every tool available to them. But as people, we all had fathers, whether good or bad. We all have the idea and concept of fatherhood. And if we know what a father should be or should do or have an idea of it, how much more does the Heavenly Father? If I know how to treat my children, how much more does he know? I think we should focus much more on what attitude am I calling him in? Do I meditate on him throughout the night? Is he the first thing on my mind, the last thing on my lips? When I began to get some of those things down, when I began to understand who he is, I may understand a little better the correct pronunciation, but I know for my children, it depends so much what attitude they call me in, what their need is. And I can't think but the Father does the same for us. So in our prayer, in our praise, in our conversation, sure, it matters, but the vital thing to me is what is your heart? Now, I know everybody said, oh, Jesus knows my heart. Yeah, he does. He already says it's deceitfully wicked, so I think we're all pretty much in trouble there. But at the same time, he knows my thoughts, my attitude, my independence, my faith, my trust, my obedience. I may be able to fake you out. I may be able to fake Stacy out. Ain't no faking with God.
Those are motives. I think that's where a lot of people forget. I once had someone tell me, no one knows the heart. But I think the makeup a lot more was that someone made the comment during the thought that it hates.
Look, Yeah, he doesn't just know our heart. He knows the scriptures. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows why I'm doing what I'm doing. He knows why I'm doing what I'm doing when I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing.
And I think the phrase I was trying to bring to mind always was, and that phrase so me up from looking at other people having an envy or jealousy. That phrase, things are not always what they
do. Well, and I need to be careful unless I know what season it is. How am I to judge a man by his fruit? If it's the middle of winter, how many of these trees out here have fruit? Be careful you don't misjudge someone because it's not the season you think it is. Be careful if the fruit's this big because the fruit can look very similar when they're small. You know how I know most of the fruit trees around my place? I've seen them bear fruit over and over and over, and I've learned if the fruit on that tree may look good, whoo dog, when you bite into it. And then I may have learned, like with the persimmon trees, those don't look so good, but oh my gosh. Yeah, I'll be trying to hurry and get out there before they get it. Literally, my child walked in one time and looked at me eating a persimmon and said, "Dad, what are you eating?" And I said, "What's it look like?" And they said, "Rotten tomato." That's all they could figure. And I said, "Yeah, baby, it's rotten tomato. You don't want to eat it. Go on." That's the best. For those of you who've never eaten persimmon, their fruit, and take them in the paper bag and sit them on the refrigerator for about 3 weeks and let them get good and soft.
What'd you say? Well, I've been trying to get some.
Oh, I don't have any. They're down by my mama's.
I understand they need a mandolin for that type of tree.
Yeah, many of them have, but I've popped
them. I've gotten a lot of times so they have persimmon. Like it'll have spoon cake or a knife. And I'm actually seeing of it. It actually makes that the term.
I know, depending on how black the fuzzy caterpillar is, that's the best term I've ever seen. That's all I don't want to worry about. You know, fuzzy caterpillar, they use orange and black. The less orange they have on them, the more black they have on them, the colder the winter. More black is the colder, longer winter.
Do you imagine if that
actually how God took care of? Yeah,
my Your phone is flashing at me. I don't know if I've been quiet too long or what. I don't know. It said something went away. It's a wife's line. It said something went away. But just be careful again. When we judge, I make sure to hear from God what season it is. Then I make sure it's not an immature tree. Immature trees don't bring forth fruit. Then I stop for myself and go, how do I want others to judge me? They're doing to others as you have them doing to you. It's not just smack them upside the head. You want me to smack them upside the head and give them a lollipop you want. But how do I want them to look at me? I've gone through times and seasons where I'm not so sure if they would have looked at me. I've gone through times and seasons when my faith was low, when my family needed help, when I needed help. I've gone through times and seasons where, hallelujah, things are all going good, and we were able to bless others and help others. So as we grow, as we walk, let's make sure we leave space for God. Make sure we understand before we pronounce the way something is. Because, yeah, almost really said things ain't always the way they seem to be. And it may just be for right now not the way they seem. And if they're not the way they need to be, let's bless them, encourage them, and help them to find out how they to get where they need to be. We're not upset with Michael because everything's not the way it needs to be yet. That's part of the joy is watching him grow into and learn the things that need to be. Now, if we can take joy from that, why can't we take joy from others growing into the way? Because it's been 10 years, they ain't grown up yet. Well, some grow more slowly than others. How long have you prayed for them? How long have you walked with them? How long have you tried to show them the way it should be? We are in Genesis. Somebody was on my something on their finger when that says maybe it was or the bed
bring.
They were in my case. But something was in the case. Your cat been up in my case. Genesis 15. We are on the story of Abraham. We're just last week. Out with the 300 and something men trained in his own household, he went out and delivered Lot from a king who had just beat all the different creatures and all the different kings. And when Abraham showed up, he couldn't handle it. To encourage us again, what Yah can do with small numbers in the days ahead. Should also encourage us is that Abraham was a prepper. He'd raised up a militia in his own house over a number of years because all the men were born in his house. It said they were of his house. And men didn't go to war until they were 20, so he had been preparing for some time.
So were they his children or were they?
No, they were just all born in his household. They'd been there for a long time. His servants and the children of his servants. After these events, the word of Yah came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward is exceedingly great." Abram said, "Master Yah, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "See, you have given me no seed, and see, one born in my house is my heir." See, the word of Yah came to him, saying, "This one is not your heir, but he who comes from your own body is your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So are your seed." And he believed in Yah, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. Later on, he has that seed, Isaac. And when Isaac is at least somewhat older, because it says he laid the wood on his back to take him up the mountain. I don't know how much wood Benjamin would have to make several trips, maybe. And God told him to sacrifice Isaac, and he did not hesitate. And God said, "Because you have not held back your only child." In other places of scripture says, "Because you have obeyed." Belief, faith, and obedience are always linked. If I have faith, I will act. That's why James says, faith that works is dead. The whole supposed deal with hypnotism is that your mind so much believes it, your body acts. Well, I don't know much about hypnotism. Don't know that I've ever been hypnotized. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I don't know that I would go in for it. I don't particularly care to be out of control. Not that I don't trust you, since I don't trust you. But do we have so much faith that it affects our decisions, our actions, our attitudes? I believe that's one reason why the scripture tells us to be like children. Because I know as a child, you can believe there's something in that closet, there's something under my bed, there's some noise I heard. And you will call for your parents even though there's nothing there in the room because you believe. And your belief affects your senses and your mind. And those things maybe are not true. You turn the light on and all of a sudden all those things disappear. If we're already in the light because he is the light, can we finally see what is true and what is real and have belief in that, let that affect our actions, our attitudes, our decisions? We don't have faith in a God who can't be seen and a God who's never moved. If we look outside, we should see that God has already moved, that he already exists. If we look inside of a persimmon seed and we see that inside a seed, he already cared so much that he left us clues. If we look at nature, if we look at science, if we look at anything, you can see the fingerprints of God all through it. And it should encourage us that I just don't have faith in some pie in the sky, but I have faith in the creator of it all. Why would I not, therefore, want to? He said to him, "I'm Yah, who brought you out of Ur Kasdim to give you the land of inheritance." He said, "Master Yah, whereby do I know that I possess it? He said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He took all these to him and cut them in the middle and placed each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down on the carcass, and Abram drove them away. And it came to be when the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, that, see, a frightened great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, know for certain that your seed are to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. But the nation whom they serve, I'm going to judge. And afterward, let them come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you are to go to your fathers in peace. You're to be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the crookedness of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to be when the sun went down, it was dark, and see, a smoking oven and a burning torch passing between those pieces. On the same day, Yah made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given this land to your seed. From the river Mitzrayim to the great river, the river Euphrates, and the Canaanite, and the Cusinite, and the Kadamite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite.
No, Caleb was
Kenzite. Yeah.
Fast forward when Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land. We forget that he was a Gentile. We're Gentiles. So, right there, should understand, right there, then and there, even, of course, when the Exodus, we had not even came out then.
Right.
But land being given.
But Cam was the head of the tribe, even though he was not a native-born Jew.
That's right. And so, fast forward to New Testament, Jew and the Gentile. And the Gentile, it should go great about the Exodus. Joshua, we've got Israel and non-Israel. Yes, he was. Because that was the way. That was.
Yeah, Israel was being there, not just natural-born Israel, but we should also consider.
That's how we ourselves can.
That we are Israel. But we are Israel. Joshua was Israel too.
Yes.
Too many people who want to be grafted in don't want the natural Jews who are living there to be part of it. Only spiritual Jews. Well, if it's only spiritual Jews, then Paul was wrong when he said he hurt for his brethren who did not accept Messiah. If we believe only those who accept the Messiah are Israel, then the New Testament's wrong. Because Paul says God still has a plan for them. And that for a while they were going to be shut out for... Hey, sit down. We should also see that right here, God promised Abraham borders.
Yep.
Gotta say that ain't the borders that we're fighting about today. Peace is not going to come from them giving up the West Bank and them giving up Gaza. And the question isn't even the poor Palestinians and what they should have. I'm sorry.
Move them out.
God's already given the borders. And until we get with the program of what God has said, we're in trouble. Know your history. Palestine was not Palestine. And the Jews have been there for a long time. From Jordan. Jordan wouldn't let them come back in. That was the whole reason there was the Palestinian conflict, is because Jordan wanted art with the Jews and shut down their borders. Saudi Arabia would not let them into Saudi Arabia. Egypt, talk about our border wall. Egypt has armed guards on the border not to let the Palestinians in.
Egypt is trying to kick them out because they they're violent, they're trying to throw everything, so there's definitely a spirit there among those quote-unquote prophets and putting this up and shoving right back up.
So they don't have their own.
No, they never have. They've been a nomadic people that were never part of a country, and every country they've been part of never really wanted them. No, they happened to be there when the Jews started returning to the land, when the great empire of Britain
let's say Palestine
abdicated.
Palestine was a territory owned by God. It was a wasteland. Nobody lived there. And so when they got kicked out of every other country, they went and lived in the desert, which happened to be the territory of Palestine.
Have you ever heard of these things called the Great Crusades? Have you ever heard of Robin Hood? The actual happened, the King of England, those who were there, the knights, decided to go free Jerusalem because they were under the reign of the Moors, the reign of the Muslims. The Muslims had conquered Jerusalem, so we went to fight to liberate the Holy Land. It's been going on ever since. This is not a new conflict. It is literally centuries old, and I don't think it's going to be solved under Trump. But I say that because he talking about the correct borders. Until you get biblical, I don't think anything's going to be solved. Personally, I think it'll be solved when Jesus comes back and puts his feet down, and when he sends the teachers out to the nations, and they begin to do what the church is supposed to be, the church.
When people talk about pray for the people, really need pray for the region, because it's not the utility region.
But it doesn't mean I can't be on the right side of history. That should not be for God's people. That I should look and see, just like he told Abraham here, the nations that I'm using to punish them, it don't turn out so well for them.
And that's probably why it says here that Abraham fell into Lee, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. He must have, when Yahweh was explaining what's going to happen to would not have a land of their own.
Well, and I wonder how much God showed him of that, how much was because of what he had done with Sarah, man.
The sanctuary.
No, that was already happening.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that anything to do with it or not, but there are consequences to our actions. And many times, the status of the father or vision of the second or third generation, that just doesn't mean that if I beat my child, he'll beat me. Some things come around later.
You know, there's a word that I love. It's a three-letter word, the word but. And when I add Yahweh to it, it seems like whatever is happening, whatever in my life, just say, but Yahweh, it would seem like no matter what's going on.
Romans 4. I'll be trying to find that sweet spot that he had before. And now he told me about his heart was cold.
Haven't they terrible?
Yeah. His favorite. But then, shall we say Abraham our father to have found according to the flesh, for if Abraham was declared right by works, he has ground for boasting, but not before Elohim. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. We just read that in chapter 15. And to him who is working, the reward is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. And to him who is not working, but believes on him who is declaring right the wicked, his belief is reckoned for righteousness, even as David also said of the blessedness of the man to whom Elohim reckons righteousness without works. Blessed are those whose lawlessness are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yah shall by no means reckon sin. Comes out of Psalms. Is this blessing then upon the circumcision also, or also upon the uncircumcised? We affirm belief was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? Being circumcision or an uncircumcision? God had not given Abraham circumcision yet. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. For he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the belief, while in uncircumcision. For to him being a father of all those believing through uncircumcision, the righteous to be reckoned to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who are not only, are of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the belief which our father Abraham had in uncircumcision. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the Torah, but to a righteous of belief. For if those who are of the Torah are heirs, belief has been useless, and the promise has been nullified. For the Torah works out wrath. Where there is no Torah, there is no transgression. On the count of this, that is, I believe that it, according to favor, for the promise has been made certain to all the seed, and not only those who are at the door, but also to those who are of the belief of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It has been written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who has believed, even Elohim, who has given life to the dead, and called that which does not exist into existence. Who against all expectations did believe in expectation, so that he should become the father of many nations, according to it is written, so shall your seed. Abraham believed again when he was already old, when he told God, you know, I don't have an heir. My heirs are the Azar, and he's already past age by that time. And God said, no, one's coming from your seed. And then took him outside and said, count the stars if you can. That's a lot of seed.
That's a lot of faith today. And I'm sure he knew he wouldn't see any of them or see all of them, but
he trusted. Do we trust in what we see? Do we trust in the rest of the book? Do we trust, oh, well, God told me personally, like he did. God didn't know us personally. He's given us his word that was inspired, that's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He has told us personally. The question is the same with Abraham. Are we going to believe? Is it going to affect my life like it affected Abraham? Am I going to believe so much that my faith is going to lead to actions? And then even later on, it said he thought not about giving up the heir, Isaac, which was his only heir by that time. God had talked to him several times about Ishmael already. He said, because he knew God could raise him from the dead. That's one I've struggled with. Could I give up my own child if God asked me to sacrifice one of my children? I'll be honest, I have a heart.
Yeah, whenever I see the parents who have lost a child, they have given a child.
When are we going to realize the things that God has said about the future, the things God said about today, the things he's laying on our heart now? The things he's teaching us, the things we see, they are to affect us. His words are not just words. They're not just history. They're not just a story. It's not just a book I'm reading. But if they're truly the words of the Father, if they're truly alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, why am I worried about whether it cuts off something that shouldn't be there? Let it divide asunder. Why am I not believing? And it says, okay, these are the boundaries, then Father, that's the boundaries. Now, it makes it pretty simple for me to see whether this peace accord is going to be successful or not. Is it doing what God said it should do? It's pretty easy for me to see which side to stand with. Now, does that mean I think the Palestinians should be mistreated? That I think we should wipe out every Gazan that's out there? No.
Weren't they supposed to?
Yep. Yeah, they did. Kind of made a few of those problems we're still paying for.
I think the term that the Jews use is Amalek. Historically, Amalek, I'm correct if I'm wrong, he was the man that when Israel was traveling through the desert, he would not allow them to cross through the land. And Yahweh never forgave him. Amalek, Amalekite, Israel was always.
Weren't they also
supposed to put all the ice on the land from the rear?
From the rear?
You what now?
The Amalekites, they attacked with the children.
The stragglers, those
right.
Weak.
Right. And so therein is even today a phrase, and even though it's said that the seeds of Amalekites and Amalek, that they have been done away with. Going on right now.
The question is, what does God consider?
Well, here's something that we were talking earlier, grace, and we're saved by grace. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be according to, so that the promise was what he told Abraham. So the promise is the seed and the, but still to take those words. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be. So that the still, I see that faith is for that grace. Now, I understand grace is everywhere. It's like the air we breathe. Yahweh's grace is always. But I truly
His believe. Grace is always there, but by that grace.
Exactly.
Because
that's
the sinner who
what it's saying here.
It doesn't have the results of grace in his life.
I agree.
His grace is available to them, but until
yes.
they call upon that grace,
yes.
but the results of it.
That's what I'm hearing at the New American says. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be according to grace, in order to have that grace, so that the promise will be. If the Father has, we have to have faith.
Well, and it talks about all the same. Oh, by faith,
exactly.
By faith, they had it, and that's why they received it.
Well, we've had this dispute for weeks, probably more. Well, I have a friend that he's denomination. We are not saved by faith, period. But
and he's not part of the equation, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's not all of it. He's just through faith.
Exactly.
For my grace, you say through faith, then not of yourself.
But he.
We try to separate faith and grace, just like we try to separate works and faith. There's some things that aren't separable.
Okay, but
it's okay. They're gonna say you got two sides to a coin, heads and tails. It may land on head sometimes, it may land on tail sometimes, but it's the same coin. You cannot divorce. You cannot separate the coins from each other. You will no longer have a coin.
So this discussion that we've had going on. Remember a month or so enough about freedom. So this friend of mine, he believed they were saved by grace, not by faith, and I questioned it, and he said, well, it's God predestined those who would have faith. So he already shouted it. So we've been discussing.
Well, the problem is when we, again, you cannot, I mean, scripture obviously says you've been predestined. So I'm sorry, you've been predestined.
Yeah, and to me, that would be...
The scripture also says, believe, so you have a responsibility. Now, you may find those things not congruent, or not equal, or not the same. But that's the same. God has that problem. And when I have found there's something that I have a problem with, or God has a problem with, I know who usually wins.
Maybe that predestined word really is...
Or what we think it is. We have to understand, too, we're inside of time. This makes a huge difference to me. We're inside of time. God's not bound by time. He was in the beginning before the beginning. When was that? If there was a beginning, how was there something before the beginning? It was the beginning. Well, because that's God. I can't understand the things aren't God. That's where it gets to him saying, again, his ways are not my ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth. I think the hubris of man, we forget that. If his ways are as far above the heavens, the earth as the heavens, then how am I going to ever be able to fully explain theology? Theology is the belief in God. I mean, theology of God. The study of God, the science of God, the essence of God. There's nobody going to be able to explain theology. If it's truly God, if I can explain it, then it's not God. So where we have these pat little answers, most times I find it's because man wants to understand. So man has this belief, this stated theology. Well, God has a habit of blowing up most of my theology.
Same thing when you...
Theology is not God. God's bigger than your theology. And bigger than my theology. And if he's not bigger than your theology and my theology, then he's not God. Your theology is your God.
But I was going to say, it's the same thing when you try to translate one language to another. They might give you a word, but some of them, it's not just a word, it's a method.
Yeah.
State of mind. You can't, that's not a word that can be translated.
So again, let's always leave room for Yah to be Yah. The fact that he loved us enough to give us scripture. So that we have a surety. To me, that's grace. That's faith. What a blessing. But even in there, if you think you understand all of Scripture, then you're way ahead of me.
Well, you know, that is a good argument. Say that the law has been done away with. I would say, my God loves me, so he gave me law, so I would know the parameters.
Absolutely.
They're right here. I know the parameters.
said it was for the church doesn't they have to make up their own parameters.
But at the same time, the law, the scriptures, the words, whose are they? So am I ever going to understand all of his words if they are from him?
He says I'm supposed to. It's not hard. And then I don't have to reach out to him.
That's to follow the law, not to know him.
Oh, I thought you said
that. Yeah, am I ever going to completely understand his word? It's like my dog trying to understand me talking to him. I'm sure my dog can understand some. And sometimes I think my dog understands a whole lot more than he acts like. But he's a dog. He's a dog. Maybe, okay. Even if I become a dog and speak his language, he's still a dog.
Yes.
He's never going to understand the intricacy of the human mind. We're never going to understand the intricacy of the mind of God until Corinthians says one day we shall know as we are known. But that day is today. Until the day that we know as we are known, I'm going to leave at least a small space in there. Maybe there's something I don't understand correctly. Maybe there's something I don't know. Maybe there's something that I got wrong. Maybe there's something. The Bible's been translated and retranslated. Do I think the translations are wrong? No. Do I think God is God enough to keep us to the translations? Yes. Do I think that they've all been translated perfectly? No. I think when I read it perfectly. No. In my house, we can all read the same book and think it came out differently.
But I think when you go with that dog thing, when Jesus talked about, like, you know, they know my voice, if it's your dog, your dog knows you.
Yeah.
Know any other. Because when I get upset or I just say a certain word a certain way, they know I'm kind of, they either run over there and lay down, and I'll answer up to them, but they just know, oh, he's a move.
Yep. Well, that's like I said, when somebody says dad, everybody in the mall is dad, but when I hear mine say dad, totally different.
You know, when you were talking about that earlier, making me think of my three kids and how I'm just going to talk about my relationship with them, not me. Like, my three kids mean mommy because that's what we call mom Marco. But my oldest refers to me as mother. And if the other two refer to me as mother, I'm like, what the heck? My second one refers to me as mom. And depending on his tone, I know if he's trying to be like, mom, I'm annoyed, or mom, he's being tender. My daughter is always mommy. So that is my relationship with them is different. And they refer to me as different. And they're my children, and I raise them the same way, give them the same thing. So I think a lot of it is relational.
Yes.
But he knows, you know, and so you guys are not, I like to listen to it, last night, Nick and I were watching the same, the lesson for 15, and you know, on 15:6, God has this told him, you know, I'm going to give you all of that, and he reckoned him to him as righteous because he believed, but then on 8, he goes, well, how do I know that I possess it? Like, you should just believe me, and I never thought of that, but as I was reading my notes just now, and because I saw it last night, I'm like, you know, he just finished telling him, now he's asking for a sign, and God he didn't take an offense, but he understood. In their culture, a covenant wasn't a covenant until there was a sign of it, or some kind of, you know,
evidence,
exactly. So for them, he's like, well, bring me this, and bring me this, and then he cut him in half. And well, that to him is like, oh, yes, you know, I know.
And that is someone questioning God and fast forward, then look what happened to John's father, Zechariah. He questioned and he was not able to speak. But then there's Mary who questioned what God had. He didn't punish her. So,
Then
Zechariah's question and then Mary questioned. So
but I don't think Abraham was so much questioning the promise as he was just wondering how, like, not evidence that it's going to happen. Like, I believe it's going to happen, but, you know, how does everybody else
feel? I think the same thing happened with Zacharias, because his wife was married.
Well, didn't he laugh?
No.
But Zacharias questioned was his wife, and they were old also, but it was once explained to me that the reason Mary wasn't punished was Zacharias was older and had more experience and knew more knowledge. But here we have it. So.
Well, Zacharias also received his message in the temple in his duties as the high priest. Things that affected you, whether you were clean, unclean, things that happened there always carried a higher price. I don't know that that may have been part of it, but God, when he did things in the temple, it always exacted a higher price than when it was just out and about. God has always stayed true to his nature, his form, his laws, his whether we understand them or not understand. But that attitude, that relationship, to me, that is the crux of it. What name I use, what name I call him back. Praise. There's some songs I like better than other songs. I understand better than other songs. But the question is, am I praising? That's my choice on every one of the songs. You don't get to determine whether or not I praise. Paul prays in the middle of the night, in the middle of prison. I don't care what they necessarily think or whether they are praising or not praising. What am I going to do? Yeah. This is my time with the Father. And I'm not going to let you stop me.
Well, the verse I remember is, every knee will bow at the name.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in the blank. So what name will is my question.
Yep.
And do we know?
And is that name a literal name, or is that name the position that God gave him? Is it authority that God gave him? Because one day he's going to turn around and give all the authority back to the Father at the end of all.
There's a scripture I can't remember. Yahweh, he will whistle rather than the shofar being blown. But I don't know if you have ever seen
that. God spoke before from the mountain and it kind of shook the whole earth. I would imagine if he whistled, that's not going to quite be the whistle we think of. I think it's going to be the dog whistle that nobody can hear but the dog. I think any time God's spoken before, it was unmistakable. And I would just imagine his whistle would be the same. Father, thank you that you do know the hearts of men, and yet you chose to continue with it all anyway. Father, thank you that because of your grace and your mercy, there was another morning this morning. There's another day today. I have another day to live, another day to breathe, another day to love you, to serve you. Father, you know what's going on in your land. You know what's going on in the world. You know what's going on here in America this month, this last week. And Father, through it all, you're still on the throne, and Messiah is still at your right hand to all of the enemies who made his footsteps. It has not shook you. It has not taken you by surprise. It has not moved you off your throne. Help me to understand. Help me to see. Help me to have that kind of unshakableness. To know that you have known the end from the beginning and have declared it so. And that whether my generation does it or the next generation or 1,000 generations from now, you will have what you have declared. But as for me and my house, may I choose to serve you now. Yes, Father, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But today, may my knee bow and my tongue confess that you are Yahweh Elohim, our Creator, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. May my tongue praise, my heart sing, may my mind be stayed on you. Father, today, let me Shema here. Amen.